Good morning, and thanks for listening to KRFY. This is the morning show edition of Garden Life. My name is Julie Prochinski, and we are pre-recording our July show about what happened in your yard, garden, and especially orchard after last winter. Old mature plants dead and many damaged, but still alive. Today's topic is the science of winter's mortality. We'll talk about what happened then and what to do now. With frequent guests, Kyle Nagy and Jennifer Jensen, both from the University of Idaho. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
We'll begin with by introducing Jennifer first. Jennifer Jensen is the Bonner County Extension Educator for University of Idaho. Jennifer, give us a quick description of what the Extension Office offers the Bonner County residents.
The Extension Office offers a number of different educational programs and outreach programs. We're here to help with the transfer of technology. So when there's research that's happening on campus or with other specialists, we try to get that information out to the public. And we also have just a number of general educational programs for the community, primarily based on gardening, horticulture, and some small farm production.
Great.
We also offer the 4-H program for our youth in the community.
Okay. Kyle is the manager of the University of Idaho Organic Agriculture Center and Orchard. And give us a quick description of the Ag Center.
Yeah, over at the Ag Center at the base of Schweitzer, just north of the fairgrounds, we have a large conference center over there, along with a 8-acre certified organic orchard, specializing in heritage varieties. So we grow 68 different types of apples out there. We also have an educational market garden that we sometimes have extension classes taught in, and mostly for our summer interns. So they get to produce all kinds of vegetables, and then they go to the food bank through the summer. So that's been a really good program. And then we also host events for educational programs and nonprofits. So currently our events calendar has been all blocked up because we had some severe damage last winter, and we're in the middle of renovating the building.
But in the middle, I was going to ask how that was going.
Yeah, it's slow going, but it's a big building, so it's understandable. We're looking at being back together by the end of August, and then our fall schedule really picks up.
Great. So winter damage out there included the building, not just plants.
Yes, for sure.
So let's begin our discussion about what happened last winter, focusing on the science and in a way that non-scientists can understand, starting with the trees. Beginning with Kyle. Kyle, how do your trees look?
Yeah, our trees, we've definitely seen a little bit of damage out in the orchard, but I've been getting calls from people all over North Idaho that have been having problems with their fruit trees this spring. What we're seeing is usually lower branches that aren't budding out or leafing out, and we're also seeing a lot of our cherry trees had cracking bark on them as well.
Uh-huh.
When we had that cold event in mid-January, our weather station out at the orchard had negative 22 degrees. And then I looked back through the historical records, and we hadn't been that cold since, I think it was 1984.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's established plants that have been in the ground for 30, 40 years that have never experienced that type of cold. So if there was anything marginal, maybe you planted zone 7, thinking that you might be able to make it, that was the winter that was going to take them out for sure.
That explains why so many mature plants have failed this year. Jen, what happens to a tree that freezes like that?
Well, there are a number of things that can happen. So sometimes it's just that the contents of the cells actually freeze and rupture the cell, killing it. And so that can lead to some of that splitting in the bark, as well as just the buds dying off.
The buds dying off in the dead of winter like that in January?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may see that now as buds that maybe didn't open this spring.
Yes. I know the forsythias, none of them bloomed. I don't think I saw one blooming in town.
Yeah. with some of our plants, sometimes the flower buds are less cold hardy than the leaf buds.
Okay.
And so that's why on a number of different plants, the forsythia, rhododendron are another one where if those flower buds were insulated underneath a layer of snow, you might have had flowers right at the base of the plant, but then the rest of the plant didn't survive. Now, the leaf buds were a little bit more hardy, and so those generally tended to leaf out in most cases.
So it didn't kill the whole plant.
Yes.
So I was hearing on the news that in Green Bluff, the cherry and the peach crop both failed. Will those trees survive?
The trees should definitely survive, and I think it's probably one of those cases that the flower buds were more susceptible.
But that's
similar to what we're seeing in our orchard here in Sandpoint. Our cherries, we just don't have any blooms on them this year, or our sweet cherries. We still have some pie cherries out there that did all right, but it's just not going to be a year for our stone fruit up here.
Too bad. That was the best time in our yard was when the cherries came on. So we've talked when we've gotten together. You guys have been guests of my show a couple of times. Kyle, you were saying four times. That's so great. But we talk about ways to make trees and shrubs survive and thrive, such as late dormant pruning or leaving shrubs and berries until spring to prune. Did this help?
I think one of the things that definitely helped is that we had a pretty decent blanket of snow on the ground when that freeze event occurred. If we would have had bare soil and we hit that negative 22, I think we would have been seeing a lot more plant mortality across the North Idaho. But I do think that the thick mulch probably helped insulate some of those root systems on some of those marginal plants. But others, it just didn't seem like there was anything you could do on some of those.
How did your berries survive?
Our berries are looking pretty good. We have a good crop coming on for our U-Pick raspberries, but it seems like we're late. So I'm thinking probably that week after the 4th of July is maybe when we'll be able to open up for U-Pick.
All right. After 4th of July.
Yeah.
All right. So really, no suggestions to increase hardiness? I mean, you said mulching. That's probably a pretty good idea, but anything else?
Planting varieties that are cold hardy, I think, is the most important thing, because it's in the plant. It's not something that you can often supplement to extend your hardiness. That mulching can help, but there's not a whole lot you can do that I know of, at least.
Right.
Yes, I think the genetics of the particular cultivars or varieties and different species of fruit trees you pick is important. And in general, with any of our plants, just making sure they're going into the winter healthy and not stressed. Mm-hmm. So well-watered, for instance.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I did pick up a little flyer from the U of I out at the extension office, and they have a lot of varieties of the hardy trees. And the hardy trees, and we were talking about this earlier, it's more high altitude trees, but cherries, sweet cherries, aren't even included in this for the hardiest of trees.
Yes, they're definitely not as hardy as the sour cherries.
Mm-hmm.
But for most folks here in Bonner County, you can grow the sweet cherries. But yes, when you have a winter like ours, then it might take out some of them.
Going back to this pamphlet, it also talks about varieties within the apple and plum and the hardier trees that you can plant. And that was very interesting to see that even amongst the variety of themselves, some are hardier than others. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Maybe we should talk now about zone.
Sure, yes. Most of Bonner County is in a zone 6 for cold hardiness, which is something the USDA puts together based on the coldest day of winter for the last 20 years or so. But it is just an average of those coldest temperatures. So if we haven't gotten down to negative 22 or even more in some regions in the last 20 years, then that's, you know, can affect that average, but also it is just an average. So there's going to be years where it might be colder and some years where it might be warmer. So I often recommend to folks that if you're planting trees and shrubs and you want to make sure they survive, select something that's rated as being two zones colder.
Two zones. Mm-hmm. The Green Bluff grower was talking about cherry trees will freeze at 25 below and die. So we're probably pretty lucky we only got to 22 below.
Yeah, definitely. We were close.
Yes. Yes, we were. So now what? What to do with these damaged trees?
At this point, I'm kind of in a wait-and-see pattern. Some of our plants, some of our trees in the orchard we're seeing are starting to push some latent buds out from places where the primary buds failed. And even at my house, we have two walnut trees in the front yard that are 30-plus years old, and they didn't have any leaves on them until a few weeks ago, and now they're just pushing new growth out of anywhere they can.
Oh,
so that whole root system is still there, and it wants to push that energy, so it's just finding a place where it can be released in the canopy.
Okay. Don't cut them out right away then. Wait and see.
So what I'm doing in suggesting for most people is just doing the fingernail scratch test on the thin bark, and if it's green underneath there, there's still a chance that you could be pushing some latent buds out of there.
Okay.
If it's brown and dry, it's probably not going to come back, and it can probably be pruned off.
So you'll prune that brown stuff off to encourage the growth?
Yeah, yep. Uh-huh. And like what we're seeing with the walnut tree is that from an area where a pruning cut was made several years ago, there's a lot of tissue growth there. So we're getting these kind of spurs with a lot of growth out of one place. So I'm probably going to be looking at pruning those back to lose some of that excess growth in the spring or late summer or late winter dormant pruning.
Mm-hmm. My cherry tree did a crazy thing where it leafed out all the way up the trunk. What am I going to do with that? Should I just leave that on there and wait to see what happens?
Yeah. Is there growth up in the upper canopy? Or?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Weak.
Yeah. Yep. I would say just give it time and
hang on.
See what happens.
Yeah. That's an old tree. Okay. So if you have like a berry or something that's not looking very vigorous, would you ever recommend cutting it to the ground and letting it come again?
Well, I think with some of your small fruits, you may not want to completely cut it to the ground if you've most of them are not going to benefit from a total rejuvenation pruning method. And even then, you don't always cut it totally to the ground. You're leaving about 8 inches or so. Of course, with your raspberries, you can prune those back a little bit harder. If you're seeing death in your blueberries, though, in the branches, probably trying to prune out the dead branches, but for now, at least leaving any of those branches that still appear to be alive and waiting to see how they do.
Using that scratch test on the blueberries as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then kind of evaluate whether enough of the plant has been lost that maybe it warrants replacing it or not.
Okay. So spring blooming shrubs, should we trim them now after they've finished blooming, whatever the blooming that they've done?
In general, that's the case.
Okay.
Yeah. So oftentimes after they bloom, they'll go through a period where they then start to form the flower buds for next year. Depends on the particular species. But if you prune it just shortly after the flowering, then it'll still form the flowering buds for next year on the wood that is left. And so you're not actually pruning off all of those buds.
Okay.
So now is a good time to do that.
Okay. Does it matter where you plant things? Is location a consideration?
I think it's always important, especially in an area like North Idaho, where we have so many microclimates, where one neighbor's yard to the next, it seems, can be completely different at times. So I think it's good to think about exposure to winds. If something has a lot of northern exposure, you're going to get cold winter winds on that. Whereas if you're trying to plant something that's maybe marginal to our hardiness zone, having it up against a wall or in some type of a protected area, so it's not going to experience those severe winds and such, it can definitely help.
Way back when, I heard this comment about putting your less hardy trees, exposing them to the colder weather, because you protect them and then they start sprouting, or they start growing, and they bloom. They start blooming too early, and then the last frost kills them. Have you ever heard of anything like that, where you would put your peach trees out where they wouldn't be protected so much?
I haven't heard anything like that. No,
that must be one of those things you hear that has no basis in fact. That was even before the internet that I heard that. So, let's see. Now let's talk about late summer fertilizer. How late can we go?
Well, in general, it will depend on the particular species, but you don't want to go past midsummer, usually, maybe August or so, because you don't want the plant to put on too much leafy shoot growth. So especially if you're going to be adding a nitrogen fertilizer, you don't want too much shoot growth too late in the season, because it may not have time to go through its natural hardening off process so that it is cold hardy for the winter. And so you're more likely to lose some of that shoot growth.
I was reading in this pamphlet about being careful about your lawn under your trees. And when if you fertilize your lawn the four times a year in the summer, be careful about your fruit trees that are getting fertilized in August and September.
Right, because a lawn can handle that late season fertilizer a little bit better than our trees and shrubs.
Right. Does it help to move the grass away from the base of the tree? I mean, does that help for the vitality of the tree?
It sure can, especially with a young tree. We like to keep that competition down around the root zone. I think that can definitely help in a younger tree. And the older trees, the surface growth, the weeds and grass you get around the trunk aren't really competing for nutrients and moisture to a great extent, so I wouldn't be as concerned about it then.
And how about watering into the fall?
So I know in the orchard, we're shutting our water down at the end of August, because we don't want to be pumping a lot of moisture into those trees and into those branch tips when we're end of August. We're probably 3 weeks away from our first frost or so.
Yes.
We don't want to be pumping a lot of water into that those tips when we could experience some freezing.
Okay. Good to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be a mistake I've made, watering too late. Speaking of state agriculture, let's talk about what's happening in the state with agriculture. What are the issues happening now? The other plant that really hit the skids this year was the grapes. And I've been looking to buy a grape in Idaho, and you can't buy a grape plant. Do you know what's happening there?
So you can technically purchase grape plants in Idaho, but they are regulated so that they need to have a certificate from wherever they're coming from, wherever the nursery is outside of Idaho, just claiming that it is free of different insect and disease pests, because they don't want to bring those into Idaho where we don't currently have them. So not all nurseries, especially if you're looking at online or at some mail order catalogs, they may not ship to Idaho because they don't go through that certification process.
I think that's what's happened with our nurseries in the area, because you can't find a grape plant. Same with garlic, then? You can't buy garlic through the mail. Same idea.
Same idea, yes. All of the alliums are also regulated to keep out a white rot disease. But I will say for the allium, the quarantined areas for that particular disease are actually primarily in southern Idaho, not so much in northern Idaho. They're not part of the counties that are listed. But again, for some of those companies that are out of state and shipping to Idaho, they just have a blanket statement. They won't ship to Idaho, even though technically Bonner County is not in that quarantined area.
Oh, okay. Quarantine where the agriculture is more of
right,
the economy.
Because so many onions are produced in southern Idaho.
Okay. So speaking of alliums, let's talk about garlic real quick. When do you dig garlic?
Well, normally you want to start digging that when the leaves are about half brown, and you can go ahead and dig at that time. Right now, if you haven't already, you can go ahead and cut your scapes off just as they start to curl. When they're tender, they're especially good. If you've let them go too long and they're not quite as tender, they look really good in flower arrangements.
Sure.
So you might consider that.
They're pretty cute. So waiting for the brown halfway up.
Yes.
After the scapes, is that like 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Yeah, I feel like our garlic over at the orchard is probably about 3 weeks out right now.
Okay. Yeah, I pulled one yesterday and thought, ooh, not really forming yet. Yeah. I mean, it's in there, but it's a long way in.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that's been in the news is some serious issues for ground and water contamination in our area. And I'm just wondering if you knew about these local issues. For example, Airway Heights water issues with water contamination from firefighting foam sprayed at Fairchild. They're suing for millions, and the water contamination has also contaminated the meat, allegedly. Have you heard anything about that, Jan? Anything at all?
I'm afraid I have not.
I did a little bit of digging on it and found that it is an issue down there, and it sounds like it was something that wasn't publicized until fairly recently. So I can understand why people are concerned about that. It sounds like it's a material that's a commonly used herbicide.
Yes.
So it's definitely something people should be thinking about.
Right. Being aware of our fire danger around here and when it's used in the area. And the other thing is, anecdotally, I've heard from quite a few people about the contamination of hay in sprayed fields. Are you aware of that? And what can you tell us about that?
Yes. So there are some herbicides that are used in either hay or pasture land that does not break down very quickly. It can take several years. And normally when used labeled, the animals can consume it and it passes right through them, but that active ingredient is still active in the manure.
Yes.
And so because it takes so long to break down, there is the chance that that could get moved to a garden site or somewhere else. Most of the time on the label will specifically say, do not use this hay either in compost or a garden, same with the manure. So the labels itself do generally say not to do that, but you should always talk to the farmer that you're getting.
And that's the label on the herbicide.
Correct.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you need to know what your farmer is spraying on that crop.
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that was mortifying. I was kind of sick about that for my friends. So to sum up, what we've learned so far this year is hardy varieties.
Yes.
What's your favorite hardy variety, Kyle?
Oh, man, that's so hard to pick out of all the apples that we have out there. I'd say right now my favorite apple, and it's been one that does well and it hasn't really sustained winter damage, is a Japanese apple called a Shinsei.
Ooh.
It's all sweet, no tart, no acid to it, and those are the kind of apples I'm drawn to.
Little or big or?
I'd say it's a medium-sized apple. It's kind of has a nice yellow-green skin to it. It's really a beautiful apple hanging in the tree.
Do you think your apples have bloomed like you expected, or are they down too?
Yeah, I think we had a pretty good bloom, we're currently in the middle of thinning our fruit set out there, and I think we've talked about that in the past, but thinning is the most labor-intensive part of the orchard experience. Thinning those that cluster of five small apples to a single apple, you end up with better quality in the end, but it is a lot of work, especially when you have 650 trees out in the orchard.
Well, I was reading, too, that plays a part in hardiness.
For sure.
Pruning the apples so that next year they have that energy.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. And fertilizing, waiting, well, stopping it at the end of July, pretty much.
Yeah, especially for your landscape plants.
Yeah. And I think in the orchard, we're usually done fertilizing by the middle of July.
Okay. Middle of July. All right. Well, anything else you guys want to add to our conversation here?
No, I'd say just, stay hopeful and, it doesn't hurt to wait out and make sure just your plants are actually dead before you take them out. I'm always in favor of giving them a chance.
Yes.
Patience is key for
sure.
Right.
Don't do anything drastic until you know for sure they've haven't survived.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. So we'll turn to Kyle. Kyle, tell us what else is going on out at the orchard. And I know that you got a native plant grant for native plants. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, yep. So we started a native plant garden out at the Ag Center probably about 5 years ago now. And it was started with a professor that was growing out all these native Idaho species to check on their value as a landscape plant. And then we got them planted out in our native garden up here in Sandpoint. And after the first winter, about half of the plants died.
Ooh. Ooh.
And we came to realize that it was planted with Idaho natives, but not necessarily North Idaho natives. So the professor that was working on that project is done with his work on it. So we applied for a grant. Kent Youngdahl, our assistant operations manager, applied for a grant with the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society. And he was awarded that grant, and now we're using those funds to supplement our native plant garden with some true North Idaho natives.
Right, a pollinator draw to your garden.
Yeah, and just to show everyone what's possible with our native landscape plants and how you can really end up with a very attractive yard using our natives.
Right. And you don't use any pesticide or anything out there?
So we'll use organic approved pesticides in the orchard, but we also try to practice low spray. So we're really targeting our sprays for when the pest or disease is most susceptible to being treated.
Right. And the pollinators maybe aren't there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We're not spraying anything through our bloom because we figure that's when they're all out there doing their work, and we figure that's important work that we need them to do. So we don't want to bug them.
Did you see a lot this year?
Yeah, we saw quite a few native pollinators, and we also bring in honeybees for pollination.
Okay.
So we had a pretty good fruit set.
Good. I have seen more bees this year than I have in years. I don't know what that means. But it was good to see as many mason bees as we've seen
for sure
in our yard. Okay. And so in the fall, your the lodge will be opened again. And what, do you have any classes planned or?
Yeah. Well, after having to cancel and postpone all the events that were scheduled for the summer, we have a pretty packed fall of events going on. I think we have all of our weekends are booked for September and October already.
Right.
So, we'll have a few public events out there. We're working with Space Point, which is a local nonprofit. They're teaming up with the astrology and physics department on campus, and we are housing their high-powered telescope out at our site now. So there's some events that are going on around that. I want to say that's maybe the first or second Saturday in September. We also have Food for Our Children's annual gala is going to be out there in September. And then we start to get into some of our events, like our public apple tasting in October and our Ponderay-Selkirk or Selkirk-Ponderay Food Summit in early November.
Oh, good. You'll have that again.
Yep. So yeah, it's good that we're going to be getting our building back because we're going to be busy.
Oh, yes. And let our listeners know how to get a hold of all this information.
Yeah, so you can definitely reach out to me. You can find my information on our website. We also have a Facebook page, University of Idaho Sandpoint Organic Agriculture Center. That's a good place to look for updates on our U-Pick raspberries and that kind of thing as well.
Okay, great. And Jen, what are you doing right now?
Well, this time of year, our Master Gardener volunteers are answering a lot of questions through our plant clinic. And so if you have questions about plants in your garden, maybe some problems or weeds that you'd like to have identified, you can drop them off at the extension office by the fairgrounds. And a volunteer or myself will take a look at them and do a little research and try to help you with that problem. Those volunteers, as well as the Master Food Safety Advisors, will be having a table at the Sandpoint Farmers Market on Wednesdays as well. So you could stop by there. In addition to that, we have a lot of 4-H programs going on this time, getting ready for the fair with that. So the fair will be August 13th through the 17th. We do have some other 4-H events ahead of that, such as the 4-H Horse Show, which will be July 20th and 21st. And right now we've got one online gardening class on harvesting and then preserving the harvest that will be on July 9th.
Okay.
Coming up in the afternoon then.
So, great. A lot going on. And tell folks how to get a hold of this information.
Well, again, you can look up the University of Idaho Extension Bonner County website and find information there. You're always welcome to contact our office. Our phone number is 208-263-8511. And we also offer an email newsletter, so you can call the office and get signed up for that if you're interested.
Great. That sounds like the way to go.
Yes.
Get a newsletter from you and find out what's happening.
Yes.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for both of you coming in today. It's been a terrific conversation. And I guess the takeaway is don't cut those trees down yet. Let's wait to see what happens.
Yes.
All right. And this is KRFY 88.5. And thanks, everybody, for listening